Hey, this is Kyle Eidelman from Southeast Christian Church, and I'm going to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures together, I pray that this message inspires you, challenges you, and is the right word at just the right time in your life. Enjoy the message.
Today, we're gonna just dive in, family. We're gonna have a good morning this morning. We're just gonna dive in. So if you have your Bibles or Bible apps, can you just turn to Acts chapter 12? I'm gonna go a little bit longer, so I think you might want it there. If not, no worries. I promise I will read it the way it is. But I just wanna dive into scripture today as we just talk about wrecking the roof. We just talk about how do we get people who are far from Jesus to the feet of Jesus. And today, we're just gonna talk about prayer, what it looks like for the church to really cry out for help. So I'm gonna dive in, and if you got your Bibles, hop in, but it's Acts chapter 12, starting verse 1. It says this: "Is it about this time that King Herod arrested some of those who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them? He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread, and after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. And Herod intended to bring him out for a public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him. 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, 'Put on your clothes and your sandals,' and Peter did so, 'and wrap your cloak around you and follow me,' the angel told him. So Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. And they passed the first and the second guards, and they came to an iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel, and he's rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen.' When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, and she ran back without even opening it and exclaimed, 'Peter's at the door. You're out of your mind, girl.'" Okay, I added that part. "When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, 'It must be an angel.' But Peter just kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and they saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and just described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. 'Tell James and all the brothers and sisters about this,' he said, and then he left for another place. And after all that was said against them," verse 24 says it like this, "the word of God continued to spread and to flourish." So this morning we have a text and a passage. Here's what the text is, and I think it's pretty simple, right? You have someone who's in trouble. And they're not just in trouble, they're in big trouble. They're not just locked up, they're locked up. 16 people who literally are supposed to guard him. And as a matter of fact, if you read on a little bit later, because he snuck out, they would end up giving their own lives because that was the cost of letting a prisoner escape. But in the midst of an impossible situation, the church decided, let's get together and pray. So I don't know what they used to think about prayer. Like maybe before Jesus showed up on the scene, maybe prayer was like kind of like a lot of us. Prayer is kind of that thing you do at one of the meals. It's kind of one of those things that you sometimes open maybe something really difficult with and make sure that you say at the end because you want to make sure that he blesses whatever you were talking about. Maybe it's some of those things where you just feel like it's monotonous and you're literally like, God, pray for the people with the stuff and the things, and I kind of hope you do this, and all in favor said, sure. And maybe some of them, I don't know, maybe them had run into some hard circumstances like you and I have. Maybe there was even a season in their life where they thought they prayed and they asked, God, would you change this situation? I really need your help. But it just seemed like he didn't answer. And maybe it was kind of like some of us where we're like, I know I'm supposed to pray. I'm just terrible at it. It's like exercise and dieting. Yes, I know I should. I just don't. But see, Jesus stepped on the scene. Jesus had this whole other way when he talked about prayer. As a matter of fact, if you read through the Gospels, 45 times in 33 different instances, you just see Jesus. His go-to move was just, he's gonna pray about it. So let's pray about that. As a matter of fact, a lot of us tend to feel like we should go to prayer. Jesus was always drawn to prayer. Luke 5:16 says it like this. It says, Jesus often withdrew to the solitary places and he prayed. There's something about Jesus that most people are like, I probably should. Jesus was like, I need to now. There's something that drew him to the intimacy and the power and the relationship with his dad. Some people would pray and it just felt like nothing ever happened, but Jesus, Luke 3:21, would say things like this. As he was praying, heaven was opened. As he was praying, Luke 9:29, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Some people prayed and it just kind of felt like, well, God's gonna do what he's gonna do. But then when Jesus prayed, stuff happened. Heavens opened, people changed. Luke 24:50, the very last thing, I think that you know this, when Jesus left, Luke 24 gives us the clearest picture. It says, as he's ascending from the Mount of Olives up into the right hand of the Father, where right now he makes intercession and literally still carries out prayers on behalf of you and me. And on his way up, Luke 24:50 says, when he had led them out into the vicinity of Bethany, that is right there on that mountain, he lifted up his hands and he just wanted to bless them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Jesus' last action on earth was to pray for the people that he loved. It's like how he was made. There's not really a question then, why did the early church have such a passion for prayer? I mean, Acts 1:14 says, they all met together constantly in prayer. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to prayer. Acts 4:24 says, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. Like something inside of them, they saw something in Jesus. They said, let's just do what Jesus did. They just said, let's just pray, man. Let's just get together. Let's pray. And it wasn't just that they prayed. It's what happened when they prayed. Because like in Acts chapter 4, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The early church knew how to pray. The early church knew, hey, we're facing some impossible situations right now. Go to move. We should probably all get together and pray about that. So here's the thing, I want to share with you a quick story. So some of you know that my son, he's pretty open with it now, but had a couple years where he really ran from the Lord and was far from him and wasn't sure about his existence. And I think that you know, and I've tried to be transparent in ways that wouldn't like dishonor him because I love him, but it was hard for me. And so I just need you to know, like last weekend on a, like 2 weeks ago, he called me and he said, hey dad, this is talking about last week. And he said, hey, I've got this retreat coming up for these leaders of this ministry that I'm in. Is there any way you could come out to Phoenix and lead our retreat for us? And my answer was, you bet. Next plane out, brother. So my wife and I headed out. On our way out of town, I just have to be honest, I noticed this little piece of news that there was a little prayer thing happening up the road. I don't know if you've heard about that or not. And it's Friday, I'm hopping on a plane and I'm like, oh, cool, good for them. That's awesome, man, I love that. So I just headed to Phoenix, right? And so we head up into the mountains of Flagstaff. We're kind of disconnected from everything else. And I just got to tell you, I was with 80 hungry college-age students, which is one of my favorite places to be. And as we were sitting there, they said this, you're going to love this about college-age students. They said, okay, so here's what we need you to do. Could you teach for like an hour? Some of you are like, I'm already out. Would you just teach for an hour? And then would you just answer questions for like an hour? We just want to talk to you about life and ministry. And I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. And I got to be honest, it's not like I don't do this. I do this. This is what I do. And as a matter of fact, I've given this message before. I gave out a Luke 9 and Luke 10. It was like the difference between Luke 9 and Luke 10. Luke 9, he sends out the 12 and they kind of get it right. They kind of experience the miraculous, but there's just so much they can't figure out about being a son and daughter of the King. But then in Luke 10, there's seven things that happen between Luke 9 and Luke 10 where they start to walk into their authority. They walk into who they're made to be. They start letting stuff go and start stepping into that thing that they were given from God as the sons and daughters of Christ. Well, I've done this message before, but I'm just telling you this, and I don't know where to put this, but I'm just telling you that as I gave that message, what I recognized, and I've been doing ministry for like 25 years, is that there was something going on in the room that I couldn't put my finger on. And I got done with the hour of teaching, and just inside here, I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to talk anymore. So I peeled back and I went into this corner and I was like, I hope this is the right thing. And the leader of the ministry got up and he was like, hey. He and I didn't talk. He said, hey, there's something going on. Anybody else feel that? And they're like, yeah. He's like, I don't think we're supposed to talk anymore. And they're like, yeah. And he's like, let's just spend some time praying. So right then he was like, Mac, would you pray for people? I'm like, yeah. It's like, said to my wife, Sarah, would you pray? She's like, yeah. So one other guy that was there, his name is Josh, he's a minister, and he was like, yeah. We started praying at 8 o'clock. We stopped praying for students at 1:30 in the morning. Yeah. So Matt, why are you telling us that? Because sometimes there's a season of talking. And sometimes we get really good at talking and not very good at praying. And as I was preparing, like it was literally on the calendar for this moment, a message on prayer, I just felt the Lord say, so you're really gonna talk for 35 minutes and send everybody home to pray on their own? And I was like, when you say it like that, no. So he's like, so just tee it up and get out of the way and just let them pray, man. So what you don't know about today is you just walked into a prayer service. And some of you are like, no, Matt, don't do that to me. But here's what I wanna do. I feel like the Lord wants to just unleash a bunch of prayers of his saints today. He very well might end up not just releasing some of the prayers of the saints, he might end up bringing some victory for right now today in some of your lives. And here's what I mean. I'm just telling you, when I got done and I went back to my room with my wife and I was like, what the heck was that? She's like, I know. I was like, what's going on? She's like, I don't know. And they get home and I start seeing stuff that's happening here. It's happening all over. And I'm like, and I'm not super smart. But even I know that there's certain times in our country, in our community where God is just really near. And he just wants to respond. And we'd be crazy to miss it. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pray. And I promise me, I don't think you're gonna hate me by the end, okay? So let's do this, let's get up on our feet and I'm just gonna start leading us. Can we do that? And as you're standing up, let me just set the room, okay? So I wanna tell you, like, we're all family here. And if you wanna stay right where you are, cool. If you wanna pray with a great group of people, great. If you want to pray by yourself, so awesome, love it. But we are going to focus our prayers around a few things that I think God is gonna use in a powerful way, not only in this room and online, but also I think around our community and maybe even around the world, I don't know. So here's what I'm gonna do. I just wanna remind you, 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask for anything according to his will or his heart, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and we do, right? Then whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. Matthew 17:20 says it like this. Truly, I tell you, he's like, I'm not lying, man. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, which if you go to too many weird revivals, they'll say you just need a greater faith. The problem is that's not what scripture said. You don't even need great faith today. You just need small faith. Anybody got small faith in the room? Plenty of that. It says, you can say to this mountain with tiny mustard seed faith, move from here to there and it will move. Nothing, hear this line, nothing will be impossible for you. Jeremiah 29:12 says, here's how this is gonna go down. Then you're gonna call on me and you're gonna come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. You're gonna seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So these next few moments, I'm just gonna uncork what I think is the greatest resource of this church. It's not finance. It's the prayers of the saints. So in the midst of that, here's what we're gonna do. Some of you need prayer today. You need a thin space in your life. You've been looking for an opportunity to respond to him. You don't know what that looks like. And even as we pray over things, we're gonna be praying for the community and for everybody else. And you're gonna recognize that we're praying for you and your marriage and your singleness and your anxieties and your insecurities, and you're gonna recognize, oh, this is the day that my life shifts. And what's gonna happen is we're gonna have elders and staff members, you guys can just come down as soon as I get ready to pray here, and they're just gonna pray for you. If you want prayer, we're here to pray for you, your family. Some of you are like, man, I can't do this from my seat, I just need to get on my knees. We got these steps. And you just come on up, it's family. Just be you, man. You don't have to be, don't be somebody else. Just respond to him the way that you know you're supposed to respond to him. But we're just gonna pray. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna ask you to put your hands like this, all right? And I'm just gonna get us ready and then I'm gonna lead us through, all right? So here's what's gonna happen. I just want you to start with your own lips. And we're all gonna pray out loud at the same time to just say, if you're willing, if not, it's cool. Maybe some of you, if you're not a believer in here, the best thing you could experience today is that we serve a supernatural God that can actually do the impossible, and we're all in on that. But here's the deal. You're just gonna say to God in your mouth, with your mouth, not mine, God, I am here today. I'm available today. Whatever you wanna say, whatever you wanna do with me right now, I'm in. This is my yes. But you're gonna say it to him, and then I'm gonna move us on. All right, so on the count of three, however that comes across out of your lips, you're gonna say, God, I'm available. This is my yes. I'm here. Whatever you wanna do, whatever prayers you wanna pray through me, I'm in. Let's go, okay? So on the count of three, just start praying. 1, 2, 3, just start praying. And so Jesus, right now, you heard it from your kids' lips. You love, you said, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, you have yet to deny. There's not a single person in this room, before we say a single word or ask you for a single thing, we want you to hear our yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, we are not here to pray prayers because we're perfect. Not a one of us in the room is, but we're here by the grace of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, praying prayers as saints, even though we don't deserve to be saints, that's how you see us. Father, we just wanna offer up prayers to your throne room, Father, and we're asking you to move. We pray that in the name of Jesus, everyone said, amen. So here's the first thing we're gonna pray for. We're gonna pray for a word, I think that you know, it's called repentance. It's very simple, right? The word simply means repent, doesn't mean not say you're sorry. There's a place for that. Repentance means I was headed this way. And some of you know what this is like. You were headed towards your dreams and your career and your marriage, and you were gonna be parent to the world. How did that work? Like you had your 2.2 kids and the picket fence, you had it all. And then you recognize, oh wait, I've been seeking my own kingdom. And it came with a lot of heartache and a lot of being beat down. And then you turned your life around. That's what repent means. And you saw a Father who loves you, a God who knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb and had a love for you that you never even knew was possible. And you decided to move towards the Father's heart. As a matter of fact, biblically, he says, it's your kindness that leads people to repentance. So here's what we're gonna pray. We're just gonna pray, because I think there's a lot of people, I think you know this, there's a lot of people in our, anybody notice people chasing everything but God right now? Relationships, success, they're trying to fill it with every little thing, but he's not there. And he is found when we turn our lives and we just repent and we move towards him. Some of you in the room, you're chasing that right now. Right now, some of you have been chasing your own thing, and you've been trying to do marriage on your own. You've been trying to do singleness on your own. You've been trying to get your addictions under control. You've been trying. And I would just say to you, the rest of us are gonna pray, you know, that God would just create a spirit of repentance, that there would just be the people, our neighbors, the people that we love, that repentance, that people would start to see the emptiness of what they have, and that they start moving towards the only thing that will matter for eternity. And some of you in the room need to repent. So we're just gonna pray. If you wanna repent where you are, you wanna come forward, if you wanna pray repentance over our community, let's do that. On the count of three, I just wanna ask you to pray for repentance. On the count of three, one, two, three, just start praying. Father, we just pray for a spirit of repentance right now. God, we pray, Lord Jesus, would you allow us to start seeing that our own kingdoms and our own ways are just leading us to broken places, empty places. Father, it just feels like we're so far. It feels like even trying to get back to you right now just feels so impossible. How could we ever turn this marriage around? How could we ever turn around this heart of mine? And what I did just last night, the words that I've spoken. But Father, today I pray for just the presence of your kindness, the presence of your grace, a clear picture of your son, Jesus, that knew exactly who we were. And he went ahead and laid down his life for us anyways. That just wants to draw us into a rich relationship with him. Father, I pray that you would allow our community and our neighbors and our children and our wives to walk in your love and your kindness and to turn away from the things that have been pulling us out, and that your love would woo us and bring us home. We pray that in the powerful name of Jesus, amen. Second thing we're gonna pray for, and again, at any point in time, if you're like, man, I should have gone, I could have, like you just, any point in time, you wanna come or you wanna circle up or you wanna grab somebody, you just be you, it's fine. Second thing we're gonna pray for is just reconciliation. I don't know that in my, you know, lifetime, which isn't as long as some of yours, not pointing, but I don't think that in that amount of time, I've seen more relational strife. I don't think I've seen more even like family members at odds and marriages at odds and parents with kids at odds and neighbors that are at odds and workplace are at odds. And here's what I know about Jesus. Jesus said that we are called the reconcilers of God, as if he was making his appeal through us. I know that he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons and daughters of God. But I also know that in this room alone, there's a couple of us that have a few broken relationships around us. Can I get an amen? I mean, I'm sure none of you deal with relational drama. But for the rest of us, we need the God of impossible. So here's what we're going to pray for. We're going to pray that God would do the impossible, that he would reconcile some marriages today, that he would, maybe it's just the spark of it, that he would reconcile, that he would reconcile parents with kids, older siblings that have been fighting for a long time, people in this church that haven't been getting along and they've got differing views, or maybe they've got a past. And here's what I know. I know that the heart of reconciliation is saying, I'm sorry, which is really hard. And maybe even the harder thing to say in reconciliation is, I forgive you. Some of that's going to be maybe some sparks of forgiving your father, sparks of forgiving your mom. Maybe you need help with that and you need prayer. Maybe you can pray that over your family or you see it, but we're just going to pray that God would reconcile some impossible relationships by the blood of his son, Jesus. We're going to pray it right now. On the count of three, just start praying. Lord, bring reconciliation. Father, that's what we pray right now. We pray, Father, that you would put on our hearts, and just keep praying if you're praying. You don't have to stop because of me, but everybody else, just God, we just pray for a spirit of reconciliation. God, I pray that there are literally people that walked in the room today, people that are online today, and their marriages are just not where they thought they would be, and they feel like maybe it's not terrible, but it's not in a good place. And some of them, like we've experienced in praying these last few times that we've prayed, is just some people are just in this impossible place. So God, we ask that our God of reconciliation will come and that you will give us a deep supernatural love for people, that we would see them with the eyes of Jesus, that we would somehow, some way, some of us, it's as easy as saying, I'm sorry and be forgiven. Some of us, it's been so long. It's been so deep. What we've had to go through and what we've carried has just been so weighty. But God, today, we just pray, would you stir up a spirit of reconciliation, Father? That we would give grace as we have received grace. Father, would you allow this church to be a beacon of grace, where this is where relationships get healed. This is where friendships get back on track. This is where people are real and confess real sins and then offer real forgiveness and then don't give you real judgment. But God, allow us to walk in reconciled relationships. We pray that in the strong name of Jesus, everyone said, amen. The third one is this, is we're just gonna pray for, and I'm just gonna call it rescue. Some of you know, and I got some people that I've been praying for. They just need a, they need a rescue, man. Like you need rescued out of addiction. Some of them need rescued out of anxiety. Some of them need rescued out of worry. Some of them need rescued out of a friend group that literally I can't figure out how to get them out of the relationships that are taking them off course and pulling them away. I don't know about you, but sometimes I tell him this all the time. Sometimes I just need God to be a savior, to step in and to save. To step into the lives of little teenage girls that I think it's like 3 out of 5 of them right now are having thoughts of suicide. To step into parents and kids where the kids are just off course. And it's like, God, we're doing all the right stuff. We just need you to step in, just rescue them. However you wanna do it. Some of you have prodigal children. Some of you have parents or family members like me that you're just not willing to meet Jesus face to face and them not taste the saving grace of Jesus. We need a saving God. So if he has one of those thoughts on your mind, or even if you need saving right now, You're like, I can't keep doing this, man. I can't keep walking in this loneliness. I can't keep walking in this addiction. I can't keep pretending like everything's okay on the outside, but inwardly I'm just wasting away. Then today we're gonna pray to a God who rescues. So on the count of three, let's just start praying. One, two, three, pray. Again, if you're praying, just keep praying. But for some of you, I just feel like you just don't have the right words to put in your mouth. So let me just, you can just borrow some of mine right now. God, we need a Savior right now. Father, we need the King of angel armies. We know we need the one who commands time. We need the one who steps into a cell with a guy who's chained and surrounded in an impossible situation, in a real darkness, in a God who literally just splits through it like it's a cloud, like it's a vapor, and just taps him on the side. We need the God who comes and our chains break. We need the God who comes and we walk out of our situation. We need a God who takes us places, leads us places of life and hope and vitality. And Father, we don't just need it for us. We need it for the ones that we love. We need it in our community. We need you to rescue us, Father. So Father, we're just asking, would you come? You don't need an invitation, but we just want you to know you're welcome here. We need a saving God, and that's just who you are. So Father, I pray for the people in this room that so desperately need a rescuer right now. Father, I pray that they would sense the weight of this moment, that these moments don't come all the time, and that, Father, that they would feel your kind, loving, gentle, but firm hand. And I pray that you would lead them out of where they are and into a different relationship. I pray that literally today would it be a game changer for them. Father, we pray over the ones that we love. I feel like the last few days we've spent so much time just praying over impossible situations in marriage and people who are so far from you. But God, we just pray, would you be a God who saves? We trust you. It's in the powerful name we pray, amen. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna worship here in a second. And I don't know where you are. And I don't want to force things. I don't want to overtalk things. But I do want to say this. Isn't it a little refreshing to feel like we're joining in what the church has done since the beginning of the church? Just getting together, just praying some impossible prayers. And so I think there's a lot of impossible he wants to do. So we're going to worship. You have total freedom. We're gonna have people down here for a while. I'm gonna hop down here and I'll pray. Like whatever we can do, we'd love to bless you, pray for you. If you want to stay in worship, at some point they'll release you, you go get your kids and all that. But I just don't want to turn off something that God wants to do. And so these three things that we're praying for, the first one is we want to pray for repentance. We're really asking God to turn the tide in our communities and our families. Reconciliation. That God would step in and that he would make us one as he is one. And that would just start spilling into people's lives. And then we're also gonna pray for rescue. And so we're asking you not just to pray for it here, but literally when you leave today, that you would make a commitment as the bride of Christ to join us in a sacred, thin space moment in history to really pray that God would stir up repentance, that God would really reconcile some people like right now, and that you'd rescue. And maybe, you know, for me, about a year ago, somebody gave me a foam kneeler, like one of those garden foam kneelers, like for old people. You know what I'm saying? Don't knock on the glasses. That's an old person thing too. So But somebody gave it to me and they said, just stick it somewhere. And when you get ready to pray a light and momentary prayer, look at that and then recognize that the prayers you pray are on your knees prayers. In those moments, I just started meeting Jesus on my knees. It's been one of the most transforming things in my life. So maybe you get a bunch of foam kneelers. Maybe you're young enough, you don't need them. I don't know. But I'm just gonna ask that we pray over those three things. But here's what we're gonna do. We're just gonna worship. You can still pray. You can lift your voice. You can pray over some friends. You can go to each other. If there's some reconciling that needs to happen in this room, great, do it. But we're just gonna honor him by responding to him. So we're gonna continue to worship.
Thanks for listening. If today's message made you realize you need to take your next step with Jesus, we would love to help you with that. You can connect with us on any of our social media platforms throughout the week or visit our website at southeastchristian.org. And if you want to hear more content like this, you can check out our Sermons podcast or our One at a Time podcast. Both can be found everywhere podcasts are available. Have a great week.